right, hope you got your Bibles with you now. And we are going to be looking in Genesis chapter number 17. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, read down through verse 8. Pray and see what God's got for us today, amen? So Genesis 17, verse 1. And then when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, and we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time, Lord. Help us, Father, to take in all that we can from your holy word. Even though this is a very brief overview of what's going on here in Genesis chapter 17. But we do ask, Father, that it be something that would catch someone's eye, some of their attention, and they want to go and study it on their own and learn and grow for themselves. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. And thank you, Lord, especially for that gift of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to bring our devotional today and call it the Changes. Now, while it may have seemed like not much has transpired to bringing about God's promises to Abram over the past few years, that was all about the change. Before God could give Abram the promised son, though, there had to be some other changes take place in Abram's life first. As a result, God made an appearance here in verses 1 and 2. Now, 13 years have passed since the birth of Ishmael at the end of our previous chapter, and it's been accompanied with 13 years of silence from God. Okay, 13 years in which time, according to Romans 4:19, Abram had become impotent to go along with his wife Sarai, having gone through the change of life herself. At this time is when God comes and introduces himself as the Almighty God, El Shaddai, which is another first. And with this meeting, he again confirms the covenant and will be making some changes in Abram's life. The first of these changes is God's going to do some adding. And we see that in verses 3 through 8. Again, Abram was assured he would be a father of many nations. And to support this, God was going to add a couple of letters to his name and change his name from Abram to Abraham. Abram, that meant exalted father, and he was going to be changed over to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Okay, God also specified that the multitude would be a multitude of nations, and since nations were going to be coming about, that meant that there were also going to be kings included in this package. All right, now whenever God repeats himself, which he keeps doing with Abraham with this covenant, we definitely need to be paying attention. And Abraham needed to be paying attention. Because part of this repetition included that God intended to be the God of both Abraham and his descendants. Once again, God also states that the land of Canaan would be the possession of Abraham's descendants. Now, from here we go into a little bit of action. Okay, verses 9 to 14. Not all the changes were straight up addition. Okay, in this part, God gives the instruction to do a little subtraction. Now, the word covenant by itself means a cutting. And while Abraham hadn't made the covenant with God, God had made it with Abraham in mind. Okay, and here God is instituting circumcision for Abraham and his household to show their part in the covenant and separation from this world. Every male in Abraham's household was to be circumcised immediately. And from then on out, all males were to be circumcised at 8 days old. Okay, my understanding is that the blood coagulates the best at the eighth day after birth. So that could be what God had in mind there. Now, any male that wasn't circumcised would not be included in the covenant and not accepted by God. This even extended to the servants and slaves that Abraham had as well. Okay, now, I guess that makes for an interesting change. Now, medically speaking, it is also the circumcision of the foreskin is supposed to cut down on the infections that the boy child gets. And also, Jewish women historically have had a lower rate of cervical cancer, being as how their spouses are circumcised. Okay, now it's not 100%, but hey, increasing your odds of not getting something, that sounds pretty good to me. But anyways, verses 15 and 16, we see the AKA, or also known as. Now, God moved on to change Sarai's name. Sarai meant princess, and while Sarah means noble woman, of course, she would shortly be having a child of her own, and this also means that she would have a part in the lineage leading up to the earthly body of Jesus, and those kings would be coming through her descendants and whatnot. So yeah, you know, princess to a noble woman, yeah, doesn't sound like an upgrade, but it is, church, it is. Now, of course, despite all this, I'm sorry to say, but Abraham was still human. So we see some asking going on here in verses 17 and 18. As much as Abraham loved Sarah, okay? And this is a woman who, just to be honest, church, this was a woman whose looks were still to kill for. You know, Abraham, you know, chapter 20, Abraham's going to go and he's going to lie about Sarai being his sister again, you know, to keep them from killing him because of this 90-year-old woman who still looks fine. Okay? But, of course, it wasn't enough that, you know, he feared, you know, what could happen to her. He just was worried about his life. But he's looking at her age, and he's looking at the fact that she's gone through this change of life, and it's, you know, he's got in mind, how in the world is she going to have a child now? Quite frankly, I'm not working like I need to anymore. How is this going to be possible? So he's having a really hard time coming to grips with how this could happen. Just being honest here. Thing is, though, we know that this was an important step for his faith. Because without this episode, where he's sitting here trying to figure out how in the world this could possibly happen, because it's past time for him and Sarah to have a kid, he's going to not have too good of a time. Okay, let me just come out and say it. His faith is not going to be where it needs to be when it comes to offering up Isaac there in chapter number 22. Okay, he has to go through this lesson, this trial of faith here in order to be able to get there. Okay, it's another step up on that ladder. Okay, still, okay, let's be honest. At this moment, Isaac is nothing more than a promise. But Ishmael was in the here and now. And whether he was conceived the legitimate way or not the legitimate way, didn't matter. He was still a son of Abraham. So Abraham wanted to know if there was any possibility for this son. Now, it also shows that Abraham understood the impossible, and that's in regards to barren women. They don't have kids. Okay? Now, verses 19 to 21, though, is an acknowledgement. Now, with much patience, God firmly rejected Abraham's solution of using Ishmael. This, in turn, acknowledged the fact that with God, nothing is impossible. Praise God for that. It comes in His time and in His way and His means, okay? God then goes on to tell Abraham what to name the son, and this promised son, his name is going to be Isaac. And there is something about the concept of giving something a name, okay? No matter how abstract a concept is, once it has a name, it's becomes almost tangible. Okay. Now, that same goes for a child. Since back in this day, there was no ultrasound machines to determine the gender of an unborn child, you know, God identified for Abraham that the child born of Sarah would be a male, both by calling the child a son and giving him a male's name. Okay. I don't know of any women named Isaac. May have been back then. I don't know. But the only Isaac I'm aware of being named in the Bible is this Isaac here. And the name means laughter. And it would serve as a constant reminder of Abraham's response to this news. The Bible says that Abraham laughed in his heart. We get over in the next chapter there. And Sarah laughs in her heart. Okay. Now, her laughter is a little different than Abraham's. But the point is, God still says, all right, we're going to name this boy Laughter. Okay. Now, let's face facts. God's got a little bit of a sense of humor. Okay. Back to the subject at hand, though. God's covenant that he had made to Abraham. He tells him, so you know what? I'm going to pass this down to Isaac. And then I'm going to pass it down to his descendants and their descendants and so on and so forth. God also inserted a footnote here on the due date, okay, that it was going to be in 1 year and allow a three-month window for the events of chapters 18 through 20 to take place. Now, in so doing, he allowed for Abraham to have something to take comfort in. So what's that, preacher? That's a deadline for the promises to begin that had already been set. Because once Isaac's born, it's all real. So, man, it ain't looking for that day that Sarah conceives. It's looking for that day that she gives birth. Now, lastly, we come to the accounting. Okay? Verse 22 to 27. God leaves Abraham so that he can get to work, and his obedience in the matter of the circumcision was going to be full and prompt. Okay, now, Sarah wasn't going to be getting pregnant anytime soon, but this circumcision needed to take place ASAP. So, beginning with his 13-year-old son Ishmael, Abraham moved down the line, including himself, and performed the circumcision on all the males in his household. That's servants, Ishmael, himself, the slaves, the children of those servants and slaves were all circumcised. God didn't just give this to Abraham and Isaac and that's it. Everybody is on the outside looking in. No, church. This is significant. Watch this. It went to Ishmael, the son of a slave. All the servants, whether they were Egyptian, Assyrian, whatever, it didn't matter. If they were servants or the next generation being brought up, all had to be circumcised. In this church, we're given a picture of salvation. In that salvation would not just be for the line of Abraham. It didn't just go to the Jews, despite what the Jews thought. It was going to be made available to whosoever believeth in him could receive it. Anyone who refused circumcision was going to be cast out. Okay? Same thing for anyone who rejects God's salvation. Those people will be cast into hell for their rebellion. Not because of their sin. We're all born sinners. These people, they were all born Egyptian, Assyrian, whatever the case may be. Okay? Your birth is not going to be what determines. What determines is, did they accept the circumcision? People, have we accepted God's only way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, him having come, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, for the sinners of the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He rose again that third day, showing that God accepted his sacrifice there on the cross of Calvary. And if anyone will accept him as their Savior, they will also be saved. Friend, let me ask you, do you know someone who needs to be saved today? Can you bring them the gospel so they can choose for themselves? You know, if Abraham went back and he didn't tell any of the rest of these people that they had to be circumcised, he was condemning them. he went back and said, this is what God told me to do, and this is what we got to do. Choice was theirs. Choice is ours too, church. I thank you for your attention.